Well, good morning. It's great to be here with so many of you today. And as Rich said, we're in a four-week mini-series going back to the basics. And we're looking at our vision and our values for Mosaic Church. And we've called it Reboot, that kind of going back to the beginning, press the reset, reboot button. And we're looking at the mission and values in the book of Acts. And we've structured this around three key words that we have as our main words for Mosaic Church as we look at what we do, and that is up and in and out. Following Jesus, in, make build community, out, make disciples, locally and globally. There we go. So those are our kind of action words. If you look, they're full of intent, so they're verbs. Follow Jesus, build community, make disciples, all will be revealed later. I want to start with a question. And the question is for you just to have a moment to think about, and it is this. What do you want the church to be like? What do you want the church to be like? Or put it in a slightly different way, what do you long for in church community? Now, this is a question, this is not a rhetorical question. This is a question for you now just to have a little think about. And just maybe turn to the person next to you after you've had a little thought and say some of those things that you would love the church to be like. All right? How about that? Ooh. Okay, if I could draw you back together again, that'd be brilliant. I want to encourage you to try and remember those things because we'll be circling back to them at the end of the message. Well, we're going to read from Acts now, and we're picking up the story of the new church that exploded into that scene in Jerusalem where the people of the disciples were waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them as they were looking for Jesus, but he had gone, and they were waiting now for the Holy Spirit to come. And that was really what we call the birth of the church. The Holy Spirit was poured out on all different manner of people, and the church was born. And Peter stood up, and he preached an amazing sermon, and 3,000 people believed the message about Jesus and were baptized, and the early church was born. And we're going to be picking up what happened to those 3,000 people. It's like a snapshot, a window, if you like, into the life of that early church. So we can read in Acts 2, 42 to 47. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Father, we thank you for these words that we have been recorded for our benefit, to teach us, to correct us, to train us. We thank you for the power of your word that cuts deeper than a physical sword, that can cut right through to the heart. And so, Father, today we open our hearts to you to say, speak, Lord. We're listening to you. We pray that you would shape us and speak to us as a church through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this describes many wonderful things that the church were doing, but it's not just what they did, it was how they did it. So if we look at the beginning, it says they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. This is the key verb to building community. Paul says of the Christians from the Macedonian churches, they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us. That's a lot of giving, a lot of devotion, a lot of themselves being poured out into this new life that they've been brought into. It wasn't just what they did, it was how they did it. To devote to something is a phrase that we can use quite glibly, but it's something that talks about passion and effort. If we go to the next slide, it's from the Greek word, I'm not going to try and pronounce it, but that's what the Greek word is. And it means to, I think it's important because the original languages give us some of the meanings that we sometimes miss in their translations to other languages. So the original language, it talked about to stick to something determinedly. Determinedly, yeah, I said that right. It's a long word. To stick to something, to give yourself to something. In the beginning of Acts, it said they were in the upper room praying fervently. To stick at something, that was the same word, to devote themselves to something. And this is something that we want to encourage because this is how we build community. It's through the things that we do, not just the things that we receive. It is an active community, what we give ourselves to. So Phil Moore writes a description in his commentary about these verses, and he describes them like this. The 3,000, those are the people who heard Peter's message and became Christians and joined the church, gave up their lives to become part of the alternative community which lived for Jesus in Jerusalem. Master rubbed shoulder with slave, and both treated one another as brothers. Jews from Africa, Europe, Asia, and Judea shared their homes and their lives with each other. They were consumed with Christ, and they poured out their lives to be part of his new community. I love that phrase. They poured out their lives. They were consumed with Christ, and they poured out their lives. Today, we're going to be talking about what it means to build the church, what it means to build community. And what we're doing is we're trying to take what Jesus commanded us to do and what we see in the early church and pull that into the 21st century. Not get back to what it was like, but to be full of the Spirit and to take it on into what God wants the church to be like. Not just harking back, but in the same power, through the same Holy Spirit, outworking this consumed with Jesus and being poured out for one another. And Jesus describes this mission in two amazing statements. He talks about the Great Command and the Great Commission. Now, those are things, he didn't use those words, but we've kind of added those labels on. And it's the same thing, really, the up and the out. The Great Command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's the mission of the church. Love God, that's the up. And love others, that's the in and the out with the wider neighbors. And then the Great Commission is go and make disciples. So there's your up in and out in Jesus' statements. And these statements I love because they contain the word love. And I think sometimes we can have some nice words that describe what we do. We can have some phrases, some mission statements, some vision placards that we can put up to say what we're doing. But the Bible uses words like love. They love one another. They love God. They loved each other. And sometimes that just helps bring us back to the heart of what God has called us to do. Not fancy titles and flashy statements, but actually the heart of what Jesus wants for us, which is to love one another. And interestingly enough, the older the disciples got, I love this about Peter and John. When they were young, they were fiery and bold, and you can see, right, we're going to do this mission, we're going to go up in and out, we're going to be on it. As they grew older, they realized and they began to speak a lot more about love. This is the end of it, everyone. We need to love one another. Give yourselves to each other in love. They were recognizing that love was the heart of the Christian community. Jesus had sussed it at age 30. But Peter and John took a while in their letters until they were very old age to really understand that love was at the heart of it. Love is the key to building community. And community can feel a bit elusive sometimes. And I want to quote Paul Miller, who writes a great book looking at the life of Ruth. And it's called A Loving Life. He's written A Praying Life. And he's looking at those aspects of our lives in God. And he says, the biggest problem people have in searching for the perfect community is just that. You don't find community, you create it. I love that. The biggest problem people have in searching for the perfect community is just that. You don't find community, you create it through love. Look how this transforms how we enter a room full of strangers. Maybe today, this is your first time here. Our instinctive thought is, who do I know? Who am I comfortable with? And there's nothing wrong with those questions. But the Jesus questions that create communities are, who can I love? And who is left out? Here are two different formulas for community creation. Search for community where I am loved, and then become disappointed with community. Or show unconditional love and create community. The first formula leaves us critical and ultimately solitary. The second one enlarges our life, filling it with surprise and joy. And no matter what our situation, we can create community through love. We don't wait for love, we pursue it. So here's a way of saying it that I hope will help with the flow. It's Jesus' dying love for me. I receive his love for me. I am rescued, I am saved, I am transformed, I am forgiven. I receive his dying love. He died on the cross for me that I might live. I receive his love. Then my dying love for others, my sacrifice, my laying down my life for others leads to community. Or even simpler, you may have heard these three, faith in Jesus, hope, and love. The flow of God's working in our lives. He began and he outworks in our lives, and what he creates through us is something amazing as we give ourselves to him. Love is many things. I'm sure you know many of you in different stages of life, different relationships, and everyone in certain ways understand that love takes effort. Love is not just a feeling. It is actually a verb. It takes courage. It takes sacrifice. It takes effort. That's why when the Bible describes love, it uses these words in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. That's right. It always protects. Another verb. It trusts. It hopes. It always perseveres. That's the love that Jesus wants us to have. And it is only possible. I read that list and I think, that is impossible, that list. Yes, it is, which is the amazing aspect of what God has done is that he has enabled this love by his power and his Holy Spirit in us. We love because he first loved us. This love that 1 Corinthians talks about is impossible. It's an ideal that is unobtainable, but for the grace, power, and love of God being outworked in our lives. Remember that flow. We receive his undying love for us. We give unreservedly and we build community. It's this flow from the Father and the Son as he initiated and brought this church to life and poured out his Holy Spirit, not just for the mission, not just that we would go to the ends of the earth, but for the up and the in, for the loving one another. We needed his power. We can't just do this on our own. We need to receive and live out our lives in his power with him. That's what Matt was explaining about in our first session, the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We need him with us. We need to be connected like the vine, like the branches connected into him. Otherwise, this community will falter and fail. We've just finished our resistance series, and I kind of wanted to add another one to that. You know, our resistance series was taking things that we have in the culture that shape us and kind of squeeze us into the culture's mold. And so we had different things from anxiety to peace. So it's the things that the world puts on us and then the countercultural move from the Word of God and from living as the people of God to something different. And I had one for this message. We could have called it the Resistance Series, Consumer to Contributor. From the church as people who consume and receive, and well, people aren't really loving me very much, to I am going to love, I am going to serve, I am going to give. I have received from God, I will lay down my life, I will give. All right, Risen. I see that hand. How do we build community at Mosaic then? What are the ways that we have? What are some of the contexts or the places that we can do that? Well, we talk about three places to belong. And it's to try and unpack those verses from Acts and to provide a context, a place where those things they did can be at work. Those one another's that we read of in the New Testament can actually start to take traction in our lives. And one of them is the Sunday gathering. So this is one of those contexts, one of those places to belong. I like that, where to belong, because we're a family, we're a community. And so being here on a Sunday all together is part of our outworking of what we see in that early church. It says they met in the temple courts. They met in homes, but they also met in the temple courts. That's small gathering and large gathering. They did say they met every day. Now, so from next week, no, at Rich's house, every day. There was something that God had started and birthed in the church. They longed to gather together, to listen to the apostles' teaching, to hear the words of God, to worship him and to be together in a big community. And that's what we've got. Every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. And so that's why we have the Sundays. It's not just, well, we've done it for centuries. It's because it outworks what God has called us to do, to worship, to study his word, to be together. And actually, I think that sometimes on Sundays, there can be real connection and relationships forged in these times together. We often try and have tea and coffee outside. It's not just so you can have refreshments before you go home. It's a moment a point of connection, a context where people can get to know each other. We have lunches, Sunday lunches. That whole space back there, once a month, is full of food and people chatting and talking. It's wonderful. It's the community of God together on a Sunday, an amazing place to belong. The second place we belong at Mosaic is in mission groups. And these are our small groups, if you've not understood that name. It's or cell groups, you might have heard. That's a weird one, isn't it? It's like we use funny words to describe these things. It's smaller groups. Ah, I know what it is. It's not the big meeting in the temple courts on a Sunday. It is actually meeting in homes. Ah, home group. I get it. Oh, it's in Book of Acts. Oh, okay. That's why we're doing it. It's like sometimes I've got this novel idea. We're going to do mission groups. Well, it's actually rooted in Scripture. It's rooted in what God has revealed to us, kept for us, so we can model what we do upon how they lived. And those mission groups, our mission groups, are structured around mission, which I love, because community happens on mission. It's we've got a purpose together. We're not just meeting together for the sake of meeting. We're actually meeting together because God has done something in us. And we've got good news to tell. And this community is built and merge together and thrust out with good news to say. So we're structuring our small groups round mission. And those mission may have different outworkings. It could be for a particular people, a group of people. Like we have our MOTOTS mission groups, which are lots of young mums with small kids. That's just a great place to be with other mums and kids and to share life together, to pray for one another, to just encourage one another. And it's a great chance to do that. And it describes a people. We have a place. It could be a geographical area. Maybe the people that live near you in the church. Maybe you're living around Roundhay, or you live in Guiseley, and there's a group that's local to you. So it's not just a people, specific people. It's actually a place where you have some ownership. You say, we'd love God to move in this part of Leeds. And lastly, it could be under a passion. So it may be that people have got the same heart for a particular subject. Maybe it's for playing football. And so we have we've had for a while, and it's at various degrees, a football group. So it's a football mission group. Or there's a running group. So it's formed around a people, a place, or a passion. And these groups outwork what we read here. They are devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. So in our mission groups, we pray. Oh, it's in here as well. And we break bread. So we're looking at what they did, and we're modeling our life together on some of the different things that they gave themselves to. It says they broke bread in their homes and they ate together. That's great, isn't it? Mission groups eat together. Not every week, although some do, but it's a chance to just share a meal together and enjoy talking and sharing and being in each other's homes. And it says they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It talks about all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Wow, that's radical, isn't it? Now, I don't know of any mission groups that have sold everything they have and gone into community or a commune. And that's not what we're doing. And part of the reason for that is that actually when we see in the New Testament, it talks about that they actually had possessions to sell. So some people had land or homes, and at various times they used to sometimes sell and place the proceeds at the leader's feet to distribute. So they didn't all get rid of everything at the start. People still had them. It was the heart that they didn't want to see anybody with need. So if someone had need in the early church, someone might sell a piece of land to help provide for that situation. And mission groups do incredible things on this as well. Think during COVID, how so many mission groups supported different ones of the group as they struggled financially during the COVID crisis. And there were many of the mission groups that helped support different ones of the members as a group, not coming to Church Central to actually receive funds, but together as a community, helping and sharing. Also to pray for one another who's sick. That's the next thing it says. There were miraculous signs and wonders being done. In mission groups, a moment to pray for people when they're unwell, to share that journey of heartache and pain that so often is part of our lives. It's a group, a smaller group of people who know you, who are on the journey with you, who are sharing the highs, the lows, who are sharing when you lose your job or sharing when you've got a PhD to finish. That is so difficult and so hard. And they stand with you, pray with you, ask you how it's going, and we journey together. This is community being built, praying, sharing, helping, laughing, eating together, and studying the Word of God together. The last place to belong, or there's others, but this is one of those three. Triplets. Now, some of you are saying, a triplet? What's a triplet? I get that triplet is three. Well, a mosaic, one of the primary ways we disciple one another and build this deep community is through our discipleship triplets. And they provide an amazing way to build deep and honest relationships with one another. What are discipleship triplets? Well, they're groups of three people, of same-sex groups of three people, committed to transforming lives. That's our mission, to see God transforming lives here and around the world. They're peer-led, so they're three people who together want to challenge one another, want to help one another grow, want to hold each other accountable. They're moments to pray and confess, and they have been amazingly fruitful in us growing to be more like Jesus. And I know personally the challenge that it's been to meet, and I've been a few triplets now, just to know that in a week or so, because it's not necessarily every week, there's a chance where we'll be together again and I'll be asked the question that I really don't want to be asked, because the last week I shared quite vulnerably about some of the challenges or the difficulties that I was having. And I know in 2 weeks' time that those guys are going to ask me, how did you do? How is it? How's it going? How is it in that situation? And I know that they've got my back. I know they're wanting me to grow. And likewise, I want them to grow and to move forward in God. It's a chance to build deep community where you really know one another and you're really getting underneath the surface and understanding one another and helping each other to grow. Real community is being built. And so if any of those places to belong are unfamiliar to you, if Sunday's probably pretty familiar, mission groups may not be. It may be the first time you've understood what they are. Please come and grab me and speak to me or one of the welcome team. We can help point you in the direction of some mission group leaders or get you information on those. And also triplets. If you'd like to be part of, you think, I'd like to be with a closer knit group of people, three people that I can really share and start to grow deeper with, then it'd be great for you if you want to talk to your mission group leader if you're not in one already, or you can, likewise, you can come and speak to me or Matt or Rich, and we can help set you on that course. Those are great places to belong. How can I build community at Mosaic? How can I help to see the church become all that God wants her to be? How can Mosaic grow to be like that early church? I want to just come back round to that question that I asked you at the beginning of the day. And that was, if we can go back, what do you want the church to be like? And what do you long for in church community? So my question to you is, now you've heard this message, now you've understood a little bit of that flow and that contribution that we receive from him and we lay down our lives and we build community. What is it that you can do? What is it that you think you are able to do to help create that community rather than just longing for something to happen? So I know that's challenging, but this is a moment to make an I will statement. Many of you have done the DBS Bible study method know that that question is often coming up, the application, not just studying the Bible and saying, that's very nice, But what am I going to do about it? What is God asking me to do? What can I contribute? Rather than consuming, what can I give? And so the question I want you to answer is to finish the statement. I will, and it may be that you say, I will find out about mission group. I will talk to my friend who I'd really like to be in a triplet with. It's an action. It's something that we do to help build this incredible community. So I just want you to have a little think about that right now. You don't have to tell anybody, but if you want to, you could say that to them next door, nudge them and say, I'm going to get up. I'm going to talk about mission group this week. What do you think? What has God put on your heart? All those amazing things that the early church did. What is God asking you to do? In describing the early church, Phil Moore had this amazing description. The 3,000 gave up their lives to become part of the alternative community which lived for Jesus in Jerusalem. Master rubbed shoulder with slave and both treated one another as brothers. Jews from Africa, Europe, Asia, and Judea shared their homes and their lives with each other. They were consumed with Christ and they poured out their lives to be part of his new community. How about this for a description of us? The hundreds gave up their lives to become part of the alternative community which lived for Jesus in Leeds. Teacher rubbed shoulder with those on universal credit, and both treated one another as brothers and sisters. And people from Africa and from Asia and from Europe shared their homes with one another and their lives with each other. They were consumed with Christ and they poured out their lives to be part of his new community.